Almighty. So what is this weekend called? Is it called Memorial Day, huh? As I become more and more established as a senior citizen, I need to be reminded. This is a day of memories, a day to remember. We call it Memorial Day because it's a day to remember those who have sacrificed their all for us. Memorial Day was first widely observed on May 30th, 1868. That was a long time ago. It wasn't always called Memorial Day. It was originally called Decoration Day because it was time set aside to honor the nation's Civil War casualties. And they went and decorated their graves, so it was called Decoration Day. After World War I, then people start during the Decoration Day observances, they also began to honor those who had died in all of America's wars since 1775. And so they included all the wars that the United States had been involved in. And so in 1971, finally, Congress declared Memorial Day a national holiday. And that's what it was supposed to be all about. But what do we as people do on this weekend? Well, we think of picnics, the beach, spending time with families, getting sunburned, have cookouts, steaks, hot dogs, you name it. But there are a few people that actually attempt to remember. In cemeteries across the nation, small groups of people will gather and observe military services in some places. I'm sure there'll be a lot of prayers, a lot of tears. Buglers even played. And I'm not just trying to pass on a guilty trip for not attending such services. Memorial Days, nowadays, they don't have the impact that it once did. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Tomorrow, our nation will mourn the loss of all Americans who died in the defense of our country. These men or women have remained mostly anonymous, except for the families who loved them. And they include relatives, friends, neighbors that joined together in the armed forces to perform a service for our entire society. They all came from all walks of life, from all regions of our country. And yet they had one thing in common: their love and their loyalty to our country. They were the nation's defenders. So Memorial Day, America commemorates those who have made a great sacrifice. In fact, the greatest sacrifice possible, giving one's own life selflessly. Far too often, the nation as a whole takes for granted the freedoms that we enjoy because of those who sacrifice for us. Freedom paid for by the lives of others that only maybe a few of us knew about them. And so officially tomorrow we will collectively remember those who gave their all. Now in this verse, in John 15:13, our Lord spoke of the greatest expression of love, sacrificial love. We all like to speak about gushy feeling love. But when it talks about sacrificial love, we say, maybe tomorrow. Well, the United States military personnel exhibited, some of them, the sacrificial love for this country. These men and women volunteered to leave home and family to protect the freedoms that many of us treasure. This wouldn't be the land of the free if we were not for the home of the brave. It is proper for us to thank God for men and women who have sacrificed and sacrificially loved each of us through their military service and sacrifice. And yet, we hear about the sacrifice, the sacrificial love exhibited by Jesus Christ. Jesus laid down his life for his friends and sacrificed himself for them and for us. In Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 7, Paul is writing about Jesus and he says, but made himself, that is Jesus, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. There is no greater love. Amen. This is sacrificial love. And it's pretty much undeserved. We didn't earn it. He freely gave it. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that was the greatest act of sacrificial love in our behalf when Jesus willingly sacrificed his life to free us from our own bondage to sin. Romans 6:6, the latter part says that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You may say, oh, but I still do sin. We all sin, don't we? Well, we sin because we choose to, not because we have to. When we don't have Christ in us, we have no choice but end up in sin. But once we accept the sacrifice that he did, then sin has no longer dominion over us. We choose it out of our own weakness and stubbornness, but we're not enslaved by sin. That's why Paul says, why, after being set free, why do you want to fall back into that bondage again? We need to think about these things. We rightly honor those who sacrifice themselves for their friends and their country. Jesus laid down his life for you and me, and then he calls us friends. The greatest gift ever made by God in himself, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. We have read it over and over, and you probably memorized this scripture more than any one of them. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that belief there is not just something here. It is something here that drives us to act. Just like my wife was sharing a while ago, faith without works is dead. That's what James said. We're not saved by works, but if you are saved, you will have works. Normally, in human terms, when we receive a little gift from some friend or loved one at Christmas or on our birthdays, we like to show some appreciation. And so the great mercies of God are so abundant that we should overflow with thanksgiving at all times. And yet, just like my wife was sharing a while ago, sometimes we only remember God when we're in trouble. Even in human terms, love is the greatest of gifts. But now love is twofold. Reaching first towards God, and then reaching out to those around us, to our neighbors. In Matthew 22, a lawyer came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus told him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first one. And then the second is very like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he added, all the law and the prophets are summed up in those two. You walk in those two, you will walk upright all the time. Love cannot be purchased. It is always freely given. No wonder the scriptures place so much emphasis upon the love of God upon us and the love that we should have for him all through scripture. So if we are grateful for those that give us gifts during Christmas or birthdays, then we ought to confirm our love to God by giving ourselves as vessels for him to use whenever he wishes. In Romans 12:1, Paul is saying here, I beseech you, I implore you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God has given us so much. You know, somebody gives you a little trinket and your birthday, and oh, how special I feel. And God has poured out so much on us, and we take it for granted. We don't even say thanks. So Paul is saying, present yourself willing to be a vessel that God can use. And you know, and you may think of that as a sacrifice, but when God uses you, usually you are the most blessed. I don't know if you have experienced that. But there is something about you that when God uses you to do His will and you go ahead and do it, you feel like $1 million. This is truly the abundant life that He promised. When a young man or a young woman enters the armed forces, they are trained and schooled in the hardships of military life. They don't hold any of their strength in reserve. They just give it all. Well, our spiritual commander, Jesus Christ, calls today for those who will bring all their powers into subjection and serve without reservation in the army of the Lord. If you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're part of His army. And when have you seen a soldier saying to its superior, "I'll think about it"? That doesn't happen, does it? And yet God's mercy, even though we say no over and over again, He keeps on because He wants to bless you. Because people don't observe Memorial Day like they once did, it has lost much of the meaning it once had. Another holiday. What it is, I don't know. We'll just party. That sort of thing can happen with the Lord's Supper. That's why it's critical that we be constantly exposed to the message of the Lord's table. And that's why here in this church, we try to have communion at least once a month. We don't want it to become so habitual that you don't even think about it, but ever so often, at least once a month, we have it so that we would remember. Remember, this is Memorial Day, to remember. This weekend is intended for us to remember. And Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians 11 that Jesus wanted us to make communion so much of a part of our worship experience that whenever we do it, we should remember Jesus and what He did for us. Verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Amen. And in verse 25, "In the same manner He took the cup, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" So we should remember. But boy, can we get so easily distracted by so many other things. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, it says that we should examine ourselves. Oops. There we go. We should examine ourselves and so let Him eat of the bread and drink the cup. Communion is a time when we should do careful soul searching. Because if we read between the lines, God is telling us, don't dare to take communion with your heart filled with bitterness and unconfessed sin. Paul was telling the Corinthians, you have a party every Sunday. You know, they met every Sunday. In Acts 27, it says, now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. So it was customary for the disciples. The first day of the week was Sunday. And so they started meeting on Sunday and having communion every Sunday. And the Corinthians, they were just going wild with the eating. And the rich would bring the steaks. The poor would bring pea soup. And they wouldn't share with one another. They were still divided. And Paul is telling the Corinthians, because of you're not discerning the Lord's body, so many of you are sick, and some of you are dead. And the Lord is saying, I don't want you sick or dead. I want you alive and vibrant. And that's why you say, examine yourselves before communion. Don't take communion with your heart filled with bitterness and unconfessed sin. First, examine your heart and your behavior for the past few weeks. The communion table is where we come face to face with our sin, but also face to face with our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died so that we could have those sins removed. It only takes a very brief moment to recall and to look into our hearts, ask the Holy Spirit to show you and remember those things that you are still accountable for. Now, part of it is remembering those things, but there has to be a repentance. Confession. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, well, Paul declared that if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in that confession, there's always a requirement of repent. I can confess sins all day, but if I don't repent of them, I'll be doing them next day. That's not true confession. We want our sins to be cleansed. We want to be living, not sleeping or sick. And so let's prepare our hearts and spend a moment to examine our hearts before ending up with communion. Father, we ask now that your Spirit would bring to our forefront of our minds the things that we need to repent of, the things that we need to confess to you, the things that we want Jesus to forgive and to cleanse out of our hearts so that we can truly have fellowship, so that we can truly remember that Jesus died to free us from the bondage of sin. Lord, we all have sinned. We have all done things that you do not approve. We repent before you right now. We confess that we have done wrong, and we ask that you cleanse us, that you forgive us, and that you give us the strength never to pick that sin up again. Lord, we want to have fellowship with you, and this Memorial Day weekend, We remember what you did in our behalf. We know that you displayed the greatest love of all. You died for us freely. And Lord, as we look unto the symbol of your broken body, we thank you that you were willing to die, to be whipped, to be abused, to be neglected and mistreated so that we wouldn't have to. We thank you that you became the bread of our life. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. We remember this Memorial Weekend. We remember true love demonstrated for us in Calvary. We receive all you purchase in our behalf, and we are forever grateful. In Jesus' name. Lord, you say in your word that without the shedding of blood, then there's no remission of sin. Lord, you were broken. You were also spilled of your blood in our behalf so that our sins be covered, so that our sinful nature could be wiped out, and we could have the ability to be born again. Not only be born again, but be called your children with full inheritance of all that you have. Thank you for your precious blood that purchased our salvation, our destiny, translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We thank you forever, and forever we will praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, now that we enjoy so many blessings by being called your children, we pray that we do the job that you've given us as ambassadors, Father, that we go representing you wherever we go. Whatever we say, whatever we do, may bring glory and honor to you. Father, we thank you. I bless your people, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a baptism to attend, okay?
Adriana, come over here.
Still no.
Come here. This beautiful young lady is going to get baptized today. So, yay! I'm embarrassing me. No, but I just want to invite all of you right after service. We're going to go to the home. It's in Belmont. You take Belmont. Okay. And then turn
Fifth Avenue to the right.
Fifth Avenue to the right, and we'll be all the way to the end. It just take a few minutes, but please join us. It's a big step, and we want to celebrate with her. Amen. So join us there right after the service. All right.
You are dismissed.